Coming up on 5:45 on kind of a strange day in the sense the temperature will not be rising but dropping today. Jason Cairns, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at the weather last night and just I was like, oh my goodness, there was kind of a pretty stark change from where we've been recently in terms of the weather.
Yeah, I mean, it was 84 like a couple days ago and then the 60s. And today we started 49 and the forecast, you know, and usually I do the weather every day and, you know, it's going to get up. No, today it'll be dropping to 42 by 2 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cold.
That's weird, huh?
That's cold.
It's like, it is. Welcome to November.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know if you have noticed that when you've been outside, but sometimes the sky smells like seasons. And yesterday it seemed to me like it smelled like fall.
Huh.
And I was like, that's really odd. And I don't know if it was just the cooling effect going on that was coming or, but it was pleasant nonetheless.
Yeah.
But 42 is cold.
It is. All right, let's go in this direction. So we both attend the same church in Chippewa Falls Fellowship, Micon Cinema.
Yep.
And we've been asked a question by the pastor that's basically, I don't know, he asked it again last night in this group we have called Man Club, Perry Polnasek, and that is, what's the avatar for your life? What's kind of the picture, the direction you want to go? He's posted a picture of himself on his knees washing feet in Ghana years ago on a missions trip. And so my answer, I think that I feel like God's formed in me is a three-legged stool. I'll get to that. But from what I understand, you were referred to in the group that you are not a part of last night as having answered Ludio. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, for me, we've talked about this in the past on the show. The idea of Ludio is an acronym, Love Up, Down, In, and Out. And for me, that is really the direction that I want to go in my life, to understand what does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love others, to love oneself with self-compassion, and to love the creation that we have been entrusted with? And, you know, it's this 360-degree love, you know, and for me, I have a tattoo of that actually on my shoulder, and it ties with these other three concepts I talk a lot about, which are integration, wholeness, and reconciliation. And so for me, when I think about what is the avatar for my life, what is the picture, what is the image I want to be pursuing and to invite other people into, that's the direction I want to go, is how do we become more loving in the manner of Christ, the life to which he has invited us to.
Hmm. And I appreciate that. I feel like I get that. I feel like it's, you know, as you and I are pretty connected, I feel like I understand that. I sometimes hear when I'll shared Ludio, word you created, people are like, they'll scratch their head. And I don't think that's all bad.
Yeah.
A reference was made even last night. Somebody said, whatever that means. And so, I don't know. I felt bad for you, but anyhow.
Yeah.
So,
So did you defend my honor?
It all kind of moved on. So it was like a rushing river.
Okay.
But my own kind of formed it. A three-legged stool. Ronald Reagan was known for having referred to the three-legged stool of Republican politics in terms of fiscal, social, and defense. I would say my three-legged stool that I'd like to have be my vision or avatar is 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we, and I like to say, even we might be called children of God. And I love it says, and that is what we are. So being God's beloved, you and I, big on that. Henry Nouwen, Life of the Beloved. By the way, our friend Ed Ramsey gave him a copy. He's liking it very much. And also, I mean, there's a great book by Robert McGee, Search for Significance, really thick. But the biggest takeaway I had is your identity. God's plan for your identity is that you are his child. So second, though, an odd turn, but I think necessary, is what Chesterton said, that the biggest problem in the world is me. I think at all times, yes, I'm God's beloved, but the biggest problem I can do anything about with God's help is me. And even Paul said he was the chief among sinners. Now, you can believe that he was the worst sinner ever, or you can believe that he just knew his stuff more than anything else. And the third leg of the stool I have in mind is others. And that is William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was couldn't attend a speaking event. So in his place, he sent a note. He asked for it to be read in his absence. They opened it up. It had one word, others. And so that's my three-legged stool. What do you think?
I think that ties into what I'm trying to communicate. And, you know, you had said at the beginning, you know, I think we're on the same wavelength. You know, it's all about love. And I really think that starts with understanding that God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't agree more. I think you're on the right track. That's a good avatar.
Very good. All right. Well, and for what it's worth, I think Ludio is a good word, and I think you should contact Webster's about including it in the dictionary, because they still add words, you know. So,
but yeah, that's what I hear.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you later.
Again, folks, it's like a delicatessen every morning we come here. There's just a multiplicity of possibilities in the 5 minutes, and so that's we just kind of spin the dial and see what we talk about. North Korea banning two things. It might catch you by surprise what they're banning in North Korea. Any idea?
No, yeah. Other than democracy.
One has to do with hair and one has to do with pants.
Oh, my goodness. Headbands?
Mullets.
Ooh.
And skinny jeans.
Wow.
So clamping
them
down.
And Gen Z. Gen Z has canceled skinny jeans. I have a comment about reading the Bible.
All right.
Christians say you need to be in the Word daily, and that's what I aspire to be. But I have lately had a revelation. I'm not doing God any favors by coming before Him every morning. My time in the Word is like medicine to me. When I was a child, I didn't want to take medicine. And even as a teenager, if I would be on antibiotics, I quit as soon as I feel good, right?
Which is not what you're supposed to do with antibiotics.
Not at all. But I realized this morning, there are medications I take every day, and I would not want to be without them because of the consequences. And I thought, this is how it is being in God's Word. I need that little bit of God's Word as much as I can every day. And an example of that, also, I am a very, I can be very sporadic. I've shared that before in my Bible reading. And just like a medication where they say, if you forgot your medication, take it as soon as you remember.
Yeah.
This morning, I took it as soon as I could remember. I read in 2 Samuel about David and Mephibosheth, where David asked, 2 Samuel 9, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Many of you know that, they found one of Jonathan's sons who was lame. His name was Mephibosheth, and David blessed him. And Charles Spurgeon, in his devotional this morning, said, just like David was looking for someone that reminded him of Jonathan, and he was kind to Mephibosheth because of the way Jonathan came to mind when he saw this lame son of his. When Jesus looks at us, when God looks at us, he sees Jesus, and we remind him of Jesus. And that's why he's so kind to us, because he sees Christ's sacrifice. Mm. So that was the medication I took as soon as I remembered. And I just wanted to say, don't be afraid of coming back if you're an intermittent, sporadic Bible reader, because the medicine is amazing and great when you remember to take it.
I love it. I mean, give us this day our daily bread, right? And when you talk about God looking at us and seeing his son, 2 Corinthians 5:21, right? God made him who had no sin
yes.
to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When God can look mm-hmm. on what Jesus has done and pardon me for what I have done
yes.
and then see his son's covering of righteous blood over yeah. all of my sin and all my shame and say, you are mine,
yeah.
you are my child.
Yep. The father says, who can I be kind to? There's people that belong to my son. I'll pick them. And he does every day.
Hmm. So Caleb, I just want to say, your birthday yesterday, so a good celebration last night with the family?
Yes, and grilled some burgers, and then I have to say, I burned my hand.
Oh, no.
Later on, grilled some burgers, and I burned my hand because the lid of the grill, as I was closing it later, I was curious how hot it was. And so I touched it with my hand. And as
it
was searing
it?
My skin,
ouch!
I thought, how have you survived 34 years?
All right, so Caleb had shared recently about listening in marriage, and I want to join him in that. I went home with the best intentions.
Wait, was he for it or again it?
No, he's for it. It's okay. Just, we came out of the type A personality quiz, and he owned up to
the fact that sometimes I listen without listening.
Oh.
And I think my mind is going other places, which is selfish.
And I think his wife texted him before the segment was over. So that was the deal.
Okay.
So anyhow, I had the best intentions between this job and One Source Imaging downtown Eau Claire. My house is on the way. And I thought, I'm going to stop in shortly before 10:30. I'm going to see my wife, my beautiful wife, and greet her, kiss her, say something encouraging, and leave.
Nice.
And I found that she was in the middle of a challenging day already with some things in Liberia, one related to a well and the other related to somebody's roof getting done. And so God bless her for the work she does there.
Right.
And then I remembered she had given me some pictures to drop off here at the station. A wonderful woman named, a listener named Cynthia, was going to be dropping off some pillowcase dresses, and I needed to leave these pictures for her of them. And she'd given me that like on the weekend. And in the midst of having this exchange, it occurred to me, I still hadn't dropped off those pictures. I'm sorry, but I did move them from like to the right of my seat, a compartment to another place. She is just like, okay, not angry, but she's firm with me. She's just like, why didn't you put them in the other places of where you put your important papers you do take into the station?
Right.
I didn't have an answer to that question. I just didn't. And so
always have an answer.
I did think, okay, I'll put them in my lunch pail, which I do take in. And so then also she told me she had a meeting that day with someone, you know, actually Julie Minen. So
okay.
I knew Julie's from Rice Lake. So then she told me some more information. As I'm leaving, I say, well, where are you going to meet Julie? Because I know she's from Rice Lake. She's like, I just told you I'm going to meet her for at this particular restaurant in Bloomer. At that point, you know,
I just winced at the I just told you.
You know, what had been like, I'm going to go home and just be the best husband turned into what I didn't do and I didn't hear. And at that point, what do you got, really?
Aww.
So I go to and I think, okay, I'm going to make this a good. You got to catch up.
Redemption.
Redemption
is nigh.
So I go into the office and I thought, as soon as I can, I'm going to call Michelle and say, all eyes look out for Cynthia, because she hadn't, I hadn't seen boxes of pillowcase dresses yet. So I don't make the call till a little after 11. Michelle says, I think Cynthia's here. I'm like, don't let her leave. I'm bringing the pictures because we're going to get this done. We're going to play catch up here. And so I get in my car and I start to drive, realizing, where are the pictures?
Aww.
They're not in here anymore because I put them in the lunch pail, which is back at One Source. Thankfully, I only got a half a block. Went in, got the pictures, got them delivered, met Cynthia. Seemed to put a smile on my wife's face when I did tell her.
Marriage saved.
Yes, marriage saved. But I have come to this conclusion. There was an old TV commercial, I think the 70s, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
Yes.
Husbands, take that to heart.
And
just put the word wife in there.
And it needs to be on the daily, right? Not just, you know what, today I'm going to listen.
Yes.
Because then you're still going to miss those critical things.
Right.
So, you know what, got to build the habit,
aww,
right? So just start with today, build into
progress,
tomorrow.
Not perfection.
When your wife talking, it's as if the Lord himself is speaking.
And you get at least 50% just for turning in the assignment.
Story of my life.
Make a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew.
Have you ever had a sugar explosion at your house?
I wish.
Yeah, well, do you? Be careful what you ask for. My kids were out walking last night, the older two, Evelyn and Dawson, and three of their friends. And I was wrapping up part of a men's group. I was Zooming in with some others last night. And it was winding down, and I heard a cry for help, I need some help. And I thought maybe one of our dogs was acting up.
Right.
A friend. And so I said, I got to go, guys. I got to go. And lo and behold, there were Evelyn and Dawson. And there was a large box of food from an area church just down the street. They'd been out walking with the friends. And the church had had a food pantry a couple of days prior. And they had some leftover food that they were looking to get rid of. Now, there were some dog treats. And there were some pretzel Pop-Tarts, and there were some tortilla chips, and there was a ton of donuts and cookies and cookies and donuts and more donuts.
Heaven.
It was just... And so today you have seen some of the Dunkers and some of the peanut butter cookies.
It's like modern day manna to me.
I was going to say, was it heaven?
But there's a lot more where that came from. So... So I took some of the donuts and things as I was looking at it all, and I'd taken some of it upstairs to them when the kids had gone, and they were like, no, they all got boxes already, Dad. They already have some. But then, you know, apparently I wasn't enthusiastic enough, so my son's reaction was, well, hopefully Mom's excited. I'm like, well, you know.
Here they were providing for the family. Well, and it's funny because I've heard that babies instinctually love sugar.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the flavors are learned, but we all love sugar from birth.
Maybe it's a good thing, though. Maybe it means at the food pantry that the vegetables and the fruit and the meat was all so popular that it just, maybe it already went.
Maybe. So, but that was really nice of you to bring in donuts. I'm pretty excited now.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, we lost an icon a few days ago. This coming from the Facebook page of author Eric Carle from the Eric Carle team. They say it's with heavy hearts that we share that Eric Carle, the author and illustrator of The Very Hungry Caterpillar and many other beloved children's classics, passed away on Sunday, May 23rd at the age of 91. And I just love this little tidbit that his team shared. When asked why he thought The Very Hungry Caterpillar has remained popular for so long, Eric Carle said, "I think it's a book of hope. Children need that. You little insignificant caterpillar can grow up into a beautiful butterfly and fly out into the world with your talents."
So good.
Such a classic. I mean, it's just, hopefully you've read that book.
Enduringly long.
To your kids or your grandkids. It's just so, so great.
Yeah.
And I see in a 2007 interview, Carl said, "I think it started with my father. My father took me for long walks and explained things to me, and that's when I became fascinated with foxholes, spiderwebs, bird's nests. So his father really opened his eyes to what was going on around him. And also encouraging is that Eric Carle did not start writing and illustrating books until he was 40 years old, which is so interesting to me. That means someone of any age can turn into a beautiful butterfly, which is good.
Think of Laura Ingalls from our neck of the woods. I mean, her writing became later in life as well. Yeah, you know, he is was a designer, illustrator, and the writer of those books, but translated into more than 66 languages, sold more than 50 million copies.
Wow.
That's really, and again, some other ones like Brown Bear, the Grouchy Ladybug, the Very Busy Spider. But to me, none better than the Very Hungry Caterpillar.
So. Yeah.
And I mean, you just think about how many happy memories of a lot of times parents or grandparents reading to their children were created by that, too. So what a gift that he gave to the world.